Listen for the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus was walking through a field of ripe grain. His disciples were pulling off heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands to get rid of the chaff, and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you doing that, breaking a Sabbath rule?" But Jesus stood up for them. "Have you never read what David and those with him did when they were hungry? How he entered the sanctuary and ate fresh bread off the altar, bread that no one but priests were allowed to eat. He also handed it out to his companions." Then he said, "The Son of Man is no slave to the Sabbath. He's in charge." On another Sabbath, he went to the meeting place and taught. There was a man there with a crippled right hand. The religion scholars and Pharisees had their eye on Jesus to see if he would heal the man, hoping to catch him in a Sabbath infraction. He knew what they were up to and spoke to the man with the crippled hand, "Get up and stand there before us." He did. Then Jesus addressed them, "Let me ask you something. What kind of action suits the Sabbath best, doing good or doing evil? Helping people or leaving them helpless?" He looked around, looked each one in the eye. He said to the man, "Hold out your hand." He held it out. It was as good as new. They were beside themselves with anger and started plotting how they might get even with him. These are the words of the Lord.
If you are paying attention, then the day is going to be pretty joyful. And a lot of delight will fill it. So said Father Greg Boyle, a Catholic priest who for decades has worked with gang members in inner city LA in trying to help them get their lives on track. He said this in an interview conducted on the day he buried the 168th young person who died from gang violence in his parish. And there have been many more since then. But still, Father Boyle said, if you're paying attention, the day is going to be pretty joyful. Paying attention to what? Paying attention to whom? Father Boyle was referring to Jesus Christ, the person he trusted to bring joy to the neighborhood that has been a veritable war zone in our own country. As we have been going through the Gospel of Luke, it is clear that the writer has been saying to every reader and listener, over here, this one, this person, this Jesus. Pay attention. Father Boyle pretty much took his lead in pointing gang members to Jesus Christ from the Gospels. And we too are being pointed in the same direction to get your life and my life on track as well. If Father Boyle is right, we might find today to be pretty joyful and filled with delight, regardless of circumstances. Today, as we all know, is Sunday. And Presbyterianism, for whatever reason, and perhaps a few other denominations, has quite often managed to make the day not joyful and not filled with delight. Why? Why is Sunday for so many a dour experience? Why do so many increasingly search for joy and delight outside the walls of the church on the Lord's holy day? Sometimes I wonder if in the development and growth of Christianity in the West, Protestant Christianity over the last 500 years, we somehow unknowingly began to agree with the Pharisees in our passage. I wonder if we began to approach faith in a way where we were the ones who took total responsibility for our spiritual lives. Now, what do I mean by that? I can only speak of my own experience, which I related to the kids when I spoke to them. I told you many a time of how in my youth I made sure that I went to church early for worship on Sunday if there was a football game that I wanted to watch that was going to be broadcast during our later worship. Of how I'd get up with my parents, how I'd get cleaned up and I'd get dressed, I'd go to worship, and then I'd go to Sunday school, and then proceed to ask complete strangers for a ride home, or walk the 2.5 miles to my house as an 8-year-old. I checked that distance on Google Maps to make sure I was being honest. In hindsight, I can see that I received considerable benefit from going to church every Sunday, but I was well on my way as an 8-year-old to becoming a Pharisee. I believed in the law of going to church, an obligation that was laid upon me by the heavens, in particular the fourth commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. The Pharisees that we've heard of in our passage had that very command in mind when they showed up in the middle of nowhere to catch out Jesus and his disciples doing something that was supposedly against what God wanted. The word Sabbath, it literally means stop. Cease working because God stopped working on the seventh day of creation when he made the world. And here, the followers of Jesus were not stopping. Now, there's something about us when we see a law get broken. Especially a law that we ourselves follow and limit ourselves by following it. There really is something that bugs us when we see somebody else not limiting themselves according to the law. Who in the world do they think they are? Are they special somehow? If someone steals something, it just makes the price of everything go up for the rest of us. We're easily and understandably irked when the authority of the law is flouted, and therefore, we would probably resonate quite well with the Pharisees in the passage who say, Jesus, just what do you think you're doing? And we might resonate with them quite well in having smug assurance that we have done what the law required and therefore are up for some kind of reward. At least we're not up for chastisement or punishment. Well, here's what I couldn't fathom or understand as a young boy and even way into adulthood about this passage. The big picture I was unaware of, and that's this. Jesus Christ reads the Word of God for us. Jesus Christ reads the Word of God for us. The Pharisees were reading the law for themselves with the confidence that they could read it correctly. In the same way, I read the Bible with the confidence that I could read it correctly. The Pharisees brought up the law from the Bible to Jesus, saying, hey, you guys are making a big error here. But did you ever notice in the passage how Jesus also responded from the scriptures back to the Pharisees? When he told a different story from the Bible about David and his companions entering the house of God and taking the holy bread and eating it because they were starving. Even though the part of the Bible that the Pharisees were reading from forbid what David was doing. Jesus is plainly saying, you Pharisees, you're not getting the whole picture. You're selectively reading. The Son of Man, meaning Jesus himself, he's the one who has authority on the Sabbath. He's the reader of it. This point is so critical, so central to what the Gospel of Luke is trying to get across to us, that the episode from the grain field is immediately followed by an episode in the synagogue where Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or evil, to save life or destroy? Who is reading and understanding the text correctly? Who is understanding the history of the people correctly? Is it the Pharisees or is it Jesus? Who is it that really understands what the Bible says? Is it you and me or is it Jesus Christ? You can see where responsibility for our own spirituality descends from. We as modern private individuals have seen religion as a sphere where we're in the driver's seat. There's just me and there's God. My neighbor's not going to tell me about the secrets of my heart. God gave us the word personally so that we can read it for ourselves. And it can be a rather rude introduction into our own self-management of life to discover that we have a Lord who has read the word for us. But once we're over the shock of our own private individualism being shown up as not so private and not so individual, because Jesus is actually right there in the middle of our lives and is under no obligation to leave the room. Once we're over that, we might discover that Jesus reads the word in a way that is pretty joyful and that there is a lot of delight. Just like Father Boyle says to men and women in gangs in L.A., as we see in our episodes, just as Mary sang in her Magnificat, guess what? The hungry got sent away filled with good things. Sounds like those disciples eating out on the Sabbath might be gospel. As we see in our episodes, just as Isaiah prophesied, the hands are strengthened and feeble knees firm. If we read the Bible in a certain kind of way, all we're going to see is Jesus making a boo-boo that we can gossip about. But if we let him read it for us, we will see that healing on the Sabbath is actually the good news, God's power breaking into this world, overcoming those forces that made that man's hand unusable. Well, here's the question. Do we trust that Jesus Christ has the big picture for us? I know for me, this is the biggest struggle of faith in my own life. I'm always going to be somebody that says, okay, I got to pray like everything depends upon Jesus, and then I got to start behaving like everything depends on me. I don't know about you, but I sense Jesus Christ saying to me today, Alan, I know you're a minister, but will you let me read this for you? I know you're schooled and trained, but will you let me speak this for you? Alan, I know you're a minister, but will you rest in the fact that I have lived and believed for you? I want to be able to agree with Father Boyle. Father Boyle, when he says, the day's going to be pretty joyful and a lot of delight will fill it. If you're paying attention, Alan, to Jesus Christ. Amen.